to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we have possibly one of our most exciting interviews ever today. Sorry, I say that every time, but I'm just so excited.
But this time I think I mean it.
I think I mean it because we have Durham native chef at M Tempora in Durham, graduate of the New England Culinary Institute, but most importantly, Top Chef Season 21 finalist, Savannah Miller on the pod. Woo! Welcome.
Ooh, thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
The pleasure is all ours.
Truly.
I'm coming, I feel like.
What an incredible time to be talking to you with Season 22 on the horizon. It's a perfect time for us to just look back at what an incredible, we like to say like cast of characters in the like Top Chef cinematic universe, but like truly a great assembly of chefs in season 21. So it's perfect timing to just take a little stroll down memory lane and learn about you, your experience on season 21, what you've been up to since then. So let's dive in if that sounds good to you.
That sounds like so much fun. Let's do it.
Yay. Amazing. So we love to start with, of course, like the origin story question. Okay. How did you decide to become a chef?
You know, for me, I think it, I have, for me, it feels like a different story because I think there's a lot of people who are like, man, I grew up and a lot of it's influenced by my family's cooking or something really specific, like a childhood memory that kind of drew them to the kitchen. For me, it was definitely more of like the team aspect of what it all was. I was in high school and it was a part-time job. I started working in a restaurant when I had actually just turned 16. I had to wait a few months till I could legally do it. And then all of a sudden I like looked up and I was about to graduate high school and I was working two restaurant jobs and I was going to class like 3 hours a day. So I realized I was really falling in love with it and I was slowly falling in love with food. But like what really drew me in was the team and like the idea of all these people come together and we all have these different backgrounds and these specialties and we go into the service every night and it's kind of like a battle. And then we get to wake up the next day and kind of like recalibrate and see how to change and improve. And then we get to do it again. And to be honest, that's really what drew me in. And then I started falling in love with food and like the learning and the student aspect of being a chef. And then things just snowballed. You know, I realized what hospitality meant and like that type of service. I'd always really enjoyed serving others in, you know, different ways growing up. And I was involved in different clubs and sports and things like that. And for me, this just kind of took all those things and it put it into one little shell. And then I kind of fell in love with it. So
that's so cool. I feel like you're right. Most people are like, I grew up cooking with my grandma. Good reason to want to be a chef, by the way. You rarely hear this answer around.
I know. I was just going to say that. But it's true, though. I mean, it's like, for one, it's extremely social. I have very limited, I think Nancy and I both have like very limited experience working in a restaurant. Like,
I worked at Al's Deli for 2 years.
Yeah, Nancy made mayonnaise for a couple years, and I like worked at a wine bar. But there's something so special about that energy. It's like frenetic. Yeah. It's, but that's so cool to hear that too. Because, and I think not to jump immediately into Top Chef, but I do think that quality of yours really came through on the show.
Yeah,
you see people here that are like, I'm not here to make friends, and yeah, you know, I think your energy was such that you really excelled when you were put in a group or like put with a partner. And that doesn't surprise me at all. But and yet that is a very, that's a very insightful, cool reason. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, I tell people that I feel like when I went to school, I was almost like intimidated because, you know, people would be like, well, this chef and blah, blah, blah. And I read this book. And I remember being like, who is that? Like, and I really, obviously I caught up, but I think, the motivation for me was so different. And then I just realized like, I was so lucky to be attracted to something that I didn't know everything about. And then I fell in love with the rest of it too. So I feel grateful for it.
Where do you think then, what has your journey been as far as seeking out inspiration? Did you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, I think I've exhausted what I can learn from The Power of Observation. Now I'm going to dive into cookbooks, or now I'm going to dive into staging. Like, what's your kind of continual growth journey looked like over the course of your career? Maybe even setting Top Chef aside.
Yeah. I think that's a really good question because it's so different for everybody. And I think there have been points in my career where I felt like, you know, what am I doing? I have a good job and I, you know, there's growth within this company, whatever, but maybe I've learned everything in this specific spot. And I think there's been many times in my career where I almost look around like, I'm not really learning, you know? And then you take 5 seconds and you realize, well, that's my job. That's my responsibility. And I think those moments have been really fun because that's when it kind of turns back on for me. And thankfully, you know, Top Chef was also one of those moments without really getting into it too much. But I think you just have these moments where you're reminded that that's a really important thing to do and you have to stay on top of it. So for me, I've worked for a lot of chefs. You know, I started when I was young. I was in Boston for 4 years and I worked for the same chef. When I was there, I think it was like, I'm going to learn everything that he knows. And I'm going to, obviously, I still don't know everything that he knows. Just putting that out there. But, you know, the goal at the time is to do your best at making somebody else's food. And from there, I, you know, came back to North Carolina and I've been working at M Tempora off and on, you know, for about 6 years. But even, you know, the first handful of years, I have never been to Japan. I, you know, did not grow up eating authentic tempura. And so just working there and learning everything I could from my chef here, I mean, that was a huge learning experience. But, you know, when you go home, it's kind of like, what do you do with that time? So, you know, for me, continued learning, a lot of that was watching Top Chef. spoiler alert.
We were going to ask about that, the snake eating the tail. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, for obvious reasons, like you can learn, but also it's inspiring, but definitely cookbooks. I feel like as well as that, like just traveling, you know, anytime there is time to go on a trip or do something, it's always centered around like, what are the restaurants? And like, where are we going to go and what can we experience? And right after COVID, you know, working at Tempora, my fiance and I, we were like, we're going to go to Seattle and you're going to eat tempura from one of the only other female tempura chefs in the country. And that we basically centered our vacation around, we have to go to this one restaurant, and we did tons of other great stuff, you know, but, I just think like prioritizing it is important, but it looks really different all the time. And I would say 50% of it is also just like trying things that are terrible, you know, like doing a really bad job and then just privately and then trying it again. And maybe like the sixth time, you know, you feel like you've learned something just through that trial and error process, but there's so many different things.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And sponge. I think to your point around like these moments in your career where it was like, okay, a decision to proactively learn and seek opportunities rather than like defensively or, you know, like by osmosis, learn from others. So it sounds like, as you said, Top Chef was one of those moments. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got to Top Chef? Maybe like how you were cast, how you applied, all of that.
Yeah. So like I was at M Tempora for about 4.5 years. And then I got the opportunity to help open a restaurant in like the Raleigh-Durham area. And so that was my first time stepping into a much larger kitchen, like a brand new space. I was the executive chef. I wasn't the CDC. So there's a lot like of responsibility in that. About a, you know, almost a year into that is when I got a DM on Instagram. And I thought it was like spam. You know, I feel like I've gotten you get tons of like junk DMs, but this one was like, hey, you know, I'm a casting producer. We'd be interested in talking, blah, blah, blah. And I remember being like, all right, you know, I'm probably like on the line, like next, like I, not because I was like, I would never do that because I think it's the thing I would do. And it's so like, it's so personal and it's very serious. And so it was like, even if there was a part of me that thought it was real, it was so much easier to
yeah, you're like, you better not be messing with me. Like, I can't even.
Yeah, that's real, right? And so then, I feel like it was maybe the next day. It was like the same week, but the same person, you know, reached out. And I just remember it seemed more human and it was more direct. And I think maybe they realized that, like, hold on, like, let me, I know you read it. So eventually we got on the phone and it was a quick conversation. It was like super chill. Like, I think I was at work and it was 5 minutes and, you know, it was just very much like, let's talk and get to know each other. I like really hit it off with the woman on the phone. I think we're going to be friends forever. And, I just remember from there, it was like a very long process, but it also felt like it happened very quickly. I would say almost 3 months maybe of the process. And there's so many different layers that, you know, you're being passed to the next person, and then you kind of level up to this interview, and now you're going to talk to a few more people, and you might do something, you might make a video of you cooking something, send us a folder of every photo of you from the time you were born, things like that.
and a social security number if you have it on hand.
Yeah,
and, you don't mind.
And yeah, we just want to make sure you've never done anything sketchy, right? And, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, going through that process, it was a little weird because you just didn't know where the end was. And then eventually, one day I just got a phone call, and I was really hopeful, you know, in my mind, if I'd made it this far, like, I don't know how much, I mean, I'm sure they have tons of resources, right? But like, how, they can't be spending this much time on everybody if there can't be 600 of us left. And so I just remember like getting the phone call, and just losing it, like absolutely losing
my
mind.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then then the fear starts sinking in, and it's like, oh no. Oh, I remember I told my family, like, the day I woke up to go get on the plane, I was like, the genuine like feeling I have right now is that I have like an evil twin, and she has been like just out here, like, people from the show, they always call me Samantha. No one gets my name right. And so I see that was Samantha, right? Like, Samantha signed up, Samantha did all that. Like, all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like packing my bags, and I remember being like, what the hell? Like, oh no, like just great fear. And I don't think I really lost that until like the fourth episode. But yeah, so that was kind of my process. But as far as like it being a rejuvenating thing, I think just where I was at, like a year into a new position, you know, there was so much I had learned, but like I was doing a job of somebody who was running a big restaurant, which meant that you weren't always cooking. And I was having like a difficult time with specifically feeling like I wasn't learning all the things I wanted to. But that was one of those wake up moments of like, I'm really lucky to have this job, and I'm really lucky to be trusted to do this. And I can't look at anybody and point my finger, you know, like, I signed up for this, I'm a big girl. Like, and so if I want to keep learning, that's on me. And then all of a sudden it was like, do you want to do Top Chef? And it's like, all right, well, this is a really good excuse to learn. really time to study now. So then that kind of happened.
So, like, wow. I like fully get that. I mean,
I'm amazed anyone responds to our DMs, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Instagram DMs are sort of like the way the world communicates now, which Nancy and I were like very surprised to learn.
You can get them done in a DM.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, even though I, you know, I'm assuming you're also like a child of the internet age, I still just am of the mind that like business can't happen on social media. Like, you have to direct to an email
computer
or a phone call. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need the big screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get that. I always feel that, but I'm trying to be more chill about it. You know what I mean?
No. Like, hey, emoji, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. way digress, but so okay, you're stewing in this anxiety. Samantha has basically signed you up for Top Chef at this point.
Yeah.
What if any preparation or what did your preparation look like? Like, was it fully mental? Were you practicing skills? Like, did you even have time to do any sort of preparation?
Oh yeah. I mean, you make time, right? Like, I think that was the thing I was the scaredest of in that chapter of my life was like, obviously, like, I still had a full-time job. I was, you know, running a restaurant with 30 employees in the kitchen. On a good day, we probably had 20, but we wanted 30. And I feel like you can imagine how much actual physical time that takes, but mental energy. And, you know, your life doesn't stop. And I don't even own my own business. I can't even imagine, right? Like, people like Dan, or, you know, just these people coming, or Michelle, who are like, let me pause everything.
Right.
But yeah, so I had to make time. And I think I'm really grateful. I mean, I give my fiance, Justin, a shout out every time. But like, he's also listening right now, so it's helpful. But
hey there.
So I also like really appreciate him because he was working, you know, the farm in the morning, he was working at the restaurant at night, and then I would, you know, finish service and he would be like, okay, quick fire time. I'm going to set a timer and tell you what
oh
it is.
And,
you know, we'd just be at the restaurant. And so it wasn't just me like carving out space to, make that dream come true. And so that was really great. I was really grateful for that. But yeah, like studying, you're kind of in the war room now, as we call it, but like, you know, all these lit, like this was,
wow.
Yeah, it's actually more, we're trying to be organized.
yeah, that wow was like more that you guys strategically carved out space for this. For listeners, like there's stuff hanging on the walls, there's like lists, but that's
things crossed off, most importantly, which yes, means you're,
the list is getting done.
Trucking through.
If anything, it's like motivational. We just keep, like that list has been, yeah, you know? Hanging. Yeah, so I think the preparation was just, it was so vast. Like we only shopped at Whole Foods, which was super expensive. And we,
oh my God, would that's you run wild through?
What'd you say?
Would you run through Whole Foods?
Oh yeah, like, well, 100%. And we still, because people probably think he's like the biggest asshole ever, because they're like, it's not in the budget, you know? Checking out, and I'm like, and he's like, no, you can't afford it. Or and making me carry everything because I'm not going to have someone carry.
Oh my God, this is so sweet. Oh, this is unbelievable.
This is partnership.
It was
truly.
It was straight. It was like go time. Like he's very athletic. And so we would go to the place I was working at had a gym. And so we would go to the gym after. And I remember being on the treadmill and being like, I remember watching an interview with Brooke Williamson and she was like, my biggest regret is actually like not doing enough cardio. Like, oh, I wish I had just worked out more. And I was like, well, I'll do anything she does. So run off a cliff and I'll do it. But I was like, okay, done cardio. And I would be on the treadmill and no joke, Justin would be next to me and he'd be like, you're walking into the kitchen. Imagine what it looks like. You have to start visualizing.
Oh my God.
Think about this. Think about that. Like you need to start like being used to like, like he wasn't shining a bright light in my face, you know, there's a wind machine.
You can only cook with your hands or yeah. Like so crazy. Oh my God. That is.
Yeah.
What a partnership. That
yeah,
is so, a team. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I, there was a ton of preparation, but I did not do it alone and I probably didn't come up with half of it. So it was kind of like I was in training and it was
wow,
great. I know.
So weapon. Speaking of like Top Chef female alumna, mm-hmm, we also, one of the first people that we talked to on the pod was, oh my God,
Jen
why
Carroll.
Am I blanking? Jen Carroll, who had a similar strategic approach to the Whole Foods challenge in that she mentioned that, you know, we're like, what did you have like a strategy that like set you apart, whatever? And she's like, when we started to go to Whole Foods, like I would take the time to like walk through the aisles of Whole Foods and just memorize where everything was. And
yeah,
we were like, oh my God, you're playing chess and everyone's playing checkers. And you guys are playing like whatever
and
the
also,
10th
yeah,
degree of that is.
She was before like the Amazonification of Whole Foods. Like mm-hmm, she was.
Yeah. I remember wondering like, do I get a deal if I use my Prime account, like when I'm shopping.
I know who I am.
Yeah. Well, she, like she's so smart. Or like even, you know, people like Buddha, I feel like he's like so well known as being like, you know, some people get in a tizzy about it. Like you're taking the fun out of it. What are you talking about? Like, this is fun. Like, yeah. I like data. And like, I also feel yes, like, you know, you can't, none of that means anything if you can't do something with it. But like, mm-hmm, how cool is it that you thought about going, you know, just think, and everybody did their research, right? But like, for me, I think a lot of the motivation was, and I've said this before, but like, I'm not going to like gain 10 years experience overnight. That's just not going to happen. I wasn't the youngest person in the competition. Like, so I can't use that as an excuse. I can be honest and like, it only helps me to be realistic about what my strengths and weaknesses are. And like, one of my strengths happens to be, you know, if I really have a goal in mind, I know I can think about things to help prep for it. And I think I can yeah, be creative in the way that I do that. And like, you know, we shopped at Whole Foods, but like, I also was only, you know, the zip code on my Whole Foods app was Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so, you know, I wouldn't even like test certain dishes unless I could find that preserved lemon, whatever, at that store and whatever. Like,
Savannah, my gosh, that is crazy.
But also, like, oh, that being said, I think it's fun to like tell people like how deep it kind of goes. But like, all of that being said, like, all of that preparation is only to allow you to be more, have more fun in the moment, right? Like,
for sure.
It's not even like, oh, well, I can't make this recipe if I don't have this one thing. It's just more about like, I've already taken half the questions out of it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like doing the cardio, doing the core. It's like, it's just one less thing for your body to have to handle on a cellular level.
It's like athletes, like that you practice, what do they say? I shouldn't have even brought this up. I can't quote it.
Yeah. Well, you're not asking the right people either.
You practice how you play or something like that, right? Like you just have to.
Yep. Totally.
Have muscle memory. But yeah, so preparation. Probably not enough, obviously, but, you know, definitely.
Oh, hush. We'll talk about that later. Oh, my gosh. But, okay, so it sounds like you did know the location before you filmed, because actually when we spoke to Jen Carroll, I think in earlier seasons it was a total secret where they were filming. And
oh,
okay. So, like she said, they didn't know it was Vegas until they were given their flights. So, like, they couldn't – like, did you test recipes with, like, cheese and beer knowing they were going to do that?
Yeah, so we found out – they announced on Instagram. I think it was the same day or the same week. And they were like, you know, those little videos they do where it's like, hey, Tom is FaceTiming Kristen and she's in the kitchen. You know, and they're like, we're going to Wisconsin. And so that video came out. And I remember being like, okay. And then to be honest, the next one was Padma being like, I think whatever happened first, Padma leaving and Wisconsin, Kristen coming on, it all happened at the same time. And I remember being like, whoa, like slapped around a little bit. Cause I think you just envision what it's going to be like for so many months. And then, to kind of throw that curveball definitely surprised me and threw me off. But as far as preparation, I would say definitely like the last month or 6 weeks-ish, we knew it was Wisconsin. We knew that we were going where it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice courtesy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do too.
Also that you didn't have to go to Vegas, which Nancy and I like spend way too much airtime complaining about on this podcast. but like you mentioned, there was a huge surprise this season. We got Kristen Kish as the judge as the host for the first time ever. There's a very kind of like memorable moment from the first episode where all of you guys are lined up in the kitchen. Kristen asks, you know, put your hands up.
If you've won that,
and you're like the one person that famously like did not raise your hand. And there's this moment where Kristen was like, that was me. How did that moment feel when you're sort of like standing amongst this cohort of people? Did that shake you? Were you prepared for that?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like when I was on the treadmill thinking about walking into the kitchen, that moment had already played over in my head 10 times.
Wow. Okay.
But also like to me, of course, I mean, that is intimidating. I think that'd be intimidating for anybody. But it's only like a negative thing if you're like, have some ego thing about it, you know, like, I just have to like win this thing, right? Like, I don't have to like be better than you every day. I have to be better than you today. And then we might have 2 days where we rest and I have to be better than you on Thursday. And then I have to be better than you next week on Monday. Like, it's just, I don't think that like there's good days and bad days, right? So those accolades, what it means to me is that they've put their time in. But like, I think once I got over what that felt like as far as the intimidation and like, who am I walking in here? It definitely faded away over time. But even in that moment, having Kristen say that, I'll be honest, I was like, yeah, you and me, it's just you and me. Here, I did feel like I felt like so much. I don't know. Like I don't think that she was only speaking to me, you know. But it felt like just you and me right now. And if you were once right here, then I can be right there. And I thought it was super inspiring. So yeah. But other than that, no. That moment's really funny to watch, though. It's like I did not realize how like I did a 360. I was like, oh. I really looked around. I could have played it a little bit more cool. But.
Yeah.
It was great to watch too, because we know Kristen as she is now. Like, we as a Top Chef audience and fans have followed her. Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think she played it off pretty well in her season, how little like expertise she had, because I think she came off like incredibly confident. And so personally, as a viewer, I absolutely loved that moment. And it immediately endeared us all to you. Being like, doesn't matter where you're from. It's that you're all on this level playing field now in the Top Chef kitchen. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Like that is the whole point. And like, if anything, like, I am not going to waste any time, like, sitting here being like, do I deserve to be here? Like, I am here already. Like, honestly, like, we can debate that another time. Like, that on, like, I do think I deserve to be here, but, like, that's literally not even the point now. And so, yeah, that was just, it was nice. And I think it's one thing to be like, I'm going to be confident and just fake it till I make it. And I think mm-hmm. I definitely do that. But I appreciate more than anything the connection that I feel like I've come out of this show and I've really, like, made a connection with a lot of people. And the things that have been said, or even, like, the friendships I've made, or whatever it is, I appreciate that the vulnerable sides were shown. Because it's authentic and it's real, but it makes all, like, the celebratory stuff so much more fun, because, like, you know that I didn't feel that way when I walked in. Like, you get to, like, really watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
your journey is great. And, like, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but, like, you peaked at all the right moments. You have this, like, great crescendo, and it was so fun to watch. But okay, so bringing it back a little bit, because we just have, like, so much that we want to know about. So out of curiosity, when you Top Chef is famous for having incredibly prestigious guest judges. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think viewers really like, that it's not just, like, one of these throwaway shows. It's the real deal. There are real titans of industry coming on here. Yeah. But at the same time, you also have, like, Buddha, two-time winner, coming back. So we're curious, was it more intimidating to cook for these, like, titans of industry, these names you've always heard of, or like these Top Chef people who've gone through the ringer? And do you change your approach when you're cooking for one over the other?
So I don't think I change my approach. And I think that's just probably because my approach was like, at that moment when we're cooking for these different people, like, my approach was like, I'm just going to do the best I can today. Like, I genuinely, like, I don't know if I had different cards to pull from. Like, I'm going to use my fine dining experience on Dominique, or, you know, things like that. I would say the scariest person for me was Buddha, for sure. And that has so much to do with, like, his experience on the show. But I mean, also, I just put him up there with those chefs. Like, if you're talking about Curtis Duffy or Maddie Matheson or Dominique Crenn, or I mean, there's just so many people. We got to cook for Christina Tosi. Yeah, it's like, it's honestly, I think we had a lot of really, really, really cool guest judges. They're all scary. They all know what they're doing. Maybe there's an extra layer added because Buddha knows exactly what, you know, our constraints are. And he also knows the equation. I don't want to say the equation to win. Like, it's not, I don't think he's calculated it so much in that sense, but more so the risks that are worth taking and not worth taking. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I guess I was just afraid of all of them. Like, I can't, like, I just think that, you know, his criticism maybe meant a lot more because he's done everything that we've done, but he won, and he won two times. So how else can, like, give that kind of advice?
Yeah. Well, rest assured, I went into Marquis Caviar on the Upper East Side a few months ago, and Buddha was behind the counter, and I was too afraid to say anything. And I wasn't even cooking for him. So I get it.
Oh no, you should have been like, you compliments to the chef.
Would you like to come on the pod?
You should have. I feel like he'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do it.
That would be so cool. But I have a quick follow-up on that. You were talking about, like, risks that are worth taking and not. Can you give us some examples of, like, when you had to do that calculus and what they are?
For sure. The first example that comes to mind for me is, like, I think my strategy in the beginning, and some people hate on this, I don't care, is, like, I wanted to play it safe. And so I'm not necessarily, I mean, I could definitely say with confidence, like, the first five episodes, I don't think that I was cooking the most creative, just out of this world, something you've never seen, man, it doesn't even exist food, you know? I'm like, here are the, like, 10 to 15 things I've written down that I can execute with my eyes closed, right? Like, when you get there, you have just to brain dump everything from memory into this book. And so the first five pages are, like, for me, my hits. And so the first few episodes, I think that I was basically like taking those things I knew I could do really well. And I'm just like doing enough to make it part of the challenge, right? Like you're pulling in different things. So as far as like taking risks or not, in the beginning, for me, I just had to make sure I didn't make the worst dish that day. And so I wasn't taking a lot of risk, in my opinion. Whereas when you get down the road, obviously you still don't want to make the worst dish, but like you have to start giving them a reason to keep you in the back of their brains. And like, why should we keep you here? And I think that it forces you to obviously be more creative because you've probably used a lot of your tricks already. But you also have to like kind of start showing them who you are as a person, as a chef. What's your viewpoint? Like, not only am I just like taking something I can do and I'm kind of fitting it to the challenge, but like I'm really embracing the challenge for what it is and I'm letting it take the lead. And I am just kind of like bringing in my technique and my skill at this point. And so for me, like that was more of a risk, right? Like I'm not, I'm just doing things I had never done. And so I think even, I think there's a quote from Buddha where he says, you should never do anything that you've never done. So I just think, you know, sometimes I listen to his advice, sometimes I don't, but he is really smart about just knowing really when to like pull all the stops and when to be a little bit more calculated and a little bit more risk averse.
Yeah.
That's my biggest example though, I would say.
Well, one thing that was obviously very notable about this season, in addition to Kristen first time hosting, was the change to the rules as far as like quickfire and elimination challenge. So when did you become aware of this change? Did it and how did it maybe like change the way that you both approached the challenge on the show and even prior to getting there?
I mean, I think it was pretty, I'll be completely honest. I feel like I should know this, right? What happened first? Was it immunities gone or something? All I know is that I think it was the day we walked in and they were in the cranberry bog. Like that.
Yeah. It happened like late, a few episodes in, you're right.
Well,
because
it was no more immunity, money for quick fires. And then it was like immunity, but in the next episode.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay. Well, and the no more immunity thing, I'll be honest. At that point, I was like, I haven't won anything. Like, I'm not worried about losing immunity. Being like, yeah, no one gets any more immunity. Like,
yeah, you hear that? Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. But I remember the quickfire. I feel like we came in and I don't know. I think it was that day because I remember Tom had overalls on. So I think that was in. And I just remember them being like, well, are you wondering why we're here? And of course, you know, and then they're like, we're going to be here for every quick fire. For me, I was stoked on that because like I don't think I had really been like winning any quick fires at that point, but that is still where I felt more like, I don't know, like it's almost a throwaway in the beginning. Like it's something that you get really anxious and nervous about because you're still being recorded, you know, and you're still like running in and you don't get to see what's going on until you walk in and you don't want to do something stupid or whatever. You want to be able to make something in that short period of time, but like, it's more of a throwaway. So if they're there, you have to really be like intentional all the time and you have to be really, trying to impress, but also, you know, you're all those things, all those calculations. Now you're taking them into account for the 30-minute cook and the elimination cooks. But for me, I really enjoyed quick fires more than anything. And I felt like even when I wasn't winning them, I did think that I was doing a good job and that it was more positive than negative. So I was actually kind of grateful. I was just like, maybe this will help, you know? So I was okay with it, but yeah, definitely surprised.
When you think back on the quick fires and elimination challenges, is there any challenges that stand out as particularly meaningful in that maybe you pushed yourself or it was ridiculous and everything went wrong?
I loved the Indigenous challenge.
That was one of our favorites too. Loved. That one was super special. Yeah.
It was like, if you just like the baseline, like forget how it ends, right? But like what we're doing and the ingredients that we're able to use. And like, I had literally just read his book, Sean Sherman. And so it felt very like, yes, it was one of those moments where it was like, I bet on this and it's happening. So that's great. And then, wow, we get to like have this meal cooked for us and we get to eat with like Tom, Gail, and Kristen and Sean and Elena. also great. And then when we're doing the challenge, like we're getting to showcase like the ingredients that we had were all sourced from, you know, their friends and like their families and all these people nearby, you know, the rice we were cooking, whatever it was, like the people who were having that meal were, you know, very aware of where these things were from. And it was very, it was a big honor and it was really special. So you take all those things. And then for me, like how delicate it was to be using these products and like trying to show so much respect to them. And for it to go so well, that was fantastic. But also like the whole nature of that challenge was that we had an idea of what was in the pantry, but we didn't know what the quantities were. So imagine that you're like, here's a list, right? And there's like 12 ingredients and we're all like, what are you guys thinking? Like, cause we're like competing, but we're also friends and we don't want it to be a shit show. So, you see persimmons on the list. You might use persimmons. Okay. Like you see that, you might use that. I just remember sitting there and everybody had like such a game plan and being very, very kind to each other. And while he was in, I remember thinking like, we don't know, it says eggs. We don't know if there's 4 eggs or if there's 24 eggs. Right. Like, and I have this like sense of like absolute panic because I had no direction. But I basically just remember that like people weren't using like 3 or 4 things. And I, in my brain, that was what I was going to gravitate towards. And I was going to be very open to baking because I knew nobody else was going to do that. Mm. And so like, I feel like just making that decision, like right off the bat, took out the anxiety for me because it was like, there's so much I don't know. Let me just make one choice now. I knew I was going last and I knew no one else was doing dessert. And so I was like, as long as I can like piece together enough stuff that I can actually bake something in my head, like this would be very, I don't know, cool. It'd be very,
you know, how you say,
yeah, I don't know. I was like, this is exciting. There's so many different reasons. It was a really special thing. We got to honor all these ingredients. It went well, but also like, it was one of the first competitions where I had that feeling of like, I'm not doing something I've done before. I'm really taking a lot of risk. And that fear was like really gut-wrenching at the time, but it made that win feel so much better. And it made me feel like, okay, like I can do this again. Like it gave me a little confidence to step out of the box.
Mm-hmm. That honestly, challenges like that is when Top Chef's at its best, where you get to learn something about the place that you're at, the people that are there and make the food and make the
– yeah.
Make food what it is. And so, yeah, that was super special. We will have some questions on the croquettes, but before we get to that, total pivot to a different regional cuisine. But you touched on something that is a bit of a thread of discussion that we have a lot on this podcast, especially because we sort of like ping pong back between watching like the live season, like your season, and then we'll kind of go back in time and we'll rewatch older seasons like Las Vegas. We're watching Seattle right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really jumps out when you watch these older seasons, and as someone who sounds like they also watched a lot of Top Chef in preparation and just because, the dynamics between the chefs and even between the chefs and the judges were very different, like mm-hmm. 10 to 12 years ago. What do you think Top Chef gains by moving in the direction that we saw with your season, which you said, like, there's a conviviality, there's like a collaboration, there's just sort of like a default, be nice to each other. Like, what is gained by moving in that direction? And what, if anything, is lost, if anything at all?
Oh, easy. Okay. So I think like, so we got a lot of like slack in the beginning because people were like, come on, you guys are being too nice to each other, you know, or things like that. And to be honest, like anybody that in 2024 or 2023, when we film this, if anybody knowingly is going to go on TV and just be like a jerk, you know, like
right.
trip you in Whole Foods or something, or I'm going to steal your pea puree, like whatever it is, I think that you are just doing yourself a bigger disservice than anything. Like the other person is probably not going to lose much sleep over it, and you're going to look like a jerk on TV, right? Yep. So I think that a lot of things have changed just because people, Top Chef has been on so long and it's produced so many fantastic chefs. I mean, they were fantastic when they got there, right? But like a huge platform for these chefs. And I think that it's just not cool to like be a jerk. And so I think it's kind of happening before our season. It was already kind of happening. It's going to continue to happen, I hope. We also did just get along very well. Like, I think the situation is like war buddies, you know, in a sense. You're going through so much. And I remember actually feeling like I don't want people to leave. Like, you know, we're just like losing. It was so weird. Like, I love reality TV. Like, love it. And so I'm all about like, yeah, like, you know, we're getting down. The numbers are dwindling. Like, this person's leaving. Vote them out. Like, we hate this person. You know, I just I enjoy the entertainment aspect of the shows. But living that, I can see like why people wouldn't want to be that way. Like, totally. This is really hard. You know, like we are. I'm literally meeting Manny for dinner tonight. Like, we're all friends still. Oh. So.
Fun. Can we say hi?
Well, I was like, our reservation has to be at 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. He's like, it's okay. But I think, you know, it's just so much more fun. You get so much more out of it. And also, like, we're talking about like the team challenges and stuff. Like, no way I'm going to try to like burn that bridge. I might need it. Right. You know, it's more than it is. Genuine, and it's sincere, and it's just the human aspect of doing things like this that I thankfully we're all like decent people, but it's also stupid, right? Like, you don't want to make enemies if you don't have to. So I think as far as like watching it, I do think it's a better representation of the industry that I want to represent. And I think is anything like a, you know, any law, like a loss as far as like entertainment value. Sure. Yeah. Like, it's definitely more like, those moments are fun. Like, you, I don't know, like, I'm not saying they hyped things up or, you know, watered them down, but like the moments where there was drama, it's fun to watch. I was there in person and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. But we can leave the drama to the housewives. There's enough drama on Bravo that people who actually like are professionally trained at what they do and what we're watching them to do on TV should probably be spared from that.
It also is a testament to like what's so wonderful about Top Chef that it is the only remaining show of its kind in the Bravo lineup. Like, they have just, I love all Bravo shows. I'm not in any way insulting them, but they have definitely gone for the lowest common denominator, and Top Chef remains this like jewel of excellence. Also,
from, you know, my viewpoint, I don't speak for the industry, right? But like, I think that it's pretty widely celebrated and revered. I think people respect it. And I think that that is a big reason why it's scary to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that, I remember having that feeling of like, it was like a week before I got the call or something, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was like, I already knew I was going, but like this article came out that was like, how has Top Chef changed the culture of food over the past 2 decades? And it is such a big thing. And I just remember being like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm going to be a part of that. And so I think I would never go out there and disrespect like myself, my family, and my team back home by acting a certain way, right? Or the platform that I am really grateful to be a part of now. So like, I just think it's one of those things, like, let's be adults.
Totally. Love Speaking it. Of like being very gelled together, the croquettes. So Nancy and I famously have what we call a food counter. Each season we will like make predictions on like what food will we see the most throughout the season. Historically we've done stuff like bacon, ceviche. For your season, we had to make like a total pivot, which we were not planning for, into croquette territory. So would love to... We would be remiss if we did not ask what it was like to be on the ground for Croquette season 2022. Season 22. Man. Season 21, 20. What the hell year is it? It's 2025.
2025, season 21, Cheese Fest, episode 3. We're in Wisconsin. We're on the farm, right? It's hot. Like, the smell of croquettes is in the air.
start your fryers.
Oh my. You know, understand the cheese to croquette connection, right? Like, there's nobody who wouldn't. I think I am a chef who uses a fryer 99% of the time. That is, fryer every day. Yeah. And so I was probably not going to be doing that. But I think, and so my first thought, to be honest, is like, ugh, I would not, because I've done that before. Like, I've done events where I'm like, this is my specialty. So I'm going to bring a fryer and like, I'm going to do this. And I just remember getting like my, you know, my, whoever's helping me that day, like the team being like, I don't want to do events with you anymore. Like we're not frying stuff outside. I don't want to do this. And that was like, all I could think of was, okay, I'm going to do something different. But yeah, there was a lot. I think that was the day I made a quesadilla. So, you know, I'm not really like talking too much trash. I made a quesadilla, I just remember Tom came by my station. I don't know if they put this in the show or not, but they came by my station during prep and he's like, okay, quesadilla, like, you know, how are you going to make this unique enough? And I think all I said was like, well, it's not a croquette. He's like, all right, and kept moving on.
Roasted.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I don't think they used it. But yeah, there was definitely a lot. I think it made it a little – that's – I will say one thing. The other thing I remember from that day is that they called out Danny's dish specifically because they were like, you didn't win and you did make a croquette. But out of all the croquettes, like this had this and bam, bam, bam. And they just like totally loved it and like really – called out all the attention to detail. And I even episode three, I remember clocking. Okay.
Keeping an eye on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, and they liked his croquette the best out of all the croquettes. So that's, yeah.
All but the bells at the ball.
It was a little silly. That was a fun
day. I will say that the only reason why I clocked Danny very early was because we reached out to everyone on your season for an interview and he was the only one who said, let me check with my people. And so I was like, I think he goes pretty far.
Let me check with my people. And it's Justin with like glasses on, like
two kids in a trench coat.
Wait, that's really funny. That sounds right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, Bits, did you want to say something?
I just want to – no. We're good. We've got a few more questions. Take it away, Nancy.
Okay. Yeah, we have some silly ones. Maybe we'll ask you off air because we're getting to the end – or we're getting to the finale now, which is what we really want to talk to you about and, like, get more into your process there. So we sort of waxed poetic during your finale in our recap of it. Obviously the event of the season. Our recap. We talked about how they're like chefs always there are essentially like three different strategies going into or maybe two if you're being really strict about it going into the finale. There's always like the person who like the Buddha approach. I made this menu 3 years ago and have been working on it and waiting for this day and I will execute this menu. And then there's the other approach, which is like I've learned a lot in this competition and I want to show how I've grown.
Yeah.
And so with that like framework, first off, like do you agree with that? But also just like talk to us about how you strategized going into the finale. Did you, you of course prepped a lot as we have now learned, like did you have your finale menu ready day one or did it change? Did you invent it on the day? How did it go?
These are all really good questions. So I'm like, let me go into the dark space in my mind and find the answers for you. So I would agree that there are definitely people who are like, I've made this menu multiple times, blah, 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 blah. Like I would put like Danny in that category of somebody who's like, I have a vision. And I'm going to execute it. And I think one of his superpowers is making those decisions. And just like now my energy is being used towards executing it perfectly. Right. Like, and just to use him for comparison, I would say that one of my weaknesses is that I feel like I'm an Enneagram 7, if you know what that means. So I'm very like, everything like, right. Like, let's do this. Like, I'm excited to live. Like, oh, why would we only do one thing? We should do 20 things. And so I think that one of my weaknesses is like getting really excited and having this really broad idea and, having a hard time really pulling down and narrowing it down to like, this is it. Right. Mm-hmm. For me, cook the meal of your life. You couldn't say something like more, mind boggling to me. I understand that it's just like, don't think about it that hard, right? Like I have so much more clarity now, obviously, than like in that moment, but it feels so daunting that I think it was really hard for me to make a decision. And I think as far as like, did I have that menu day one? Oh no. Like I was very much like, I'm going to survive this week and then I'm going to survive next week. Mm-hmm. Next week. And so for me, it wasn't like I will never make it that far. It just wasn't where my mind was at. I was not thinking about the finale. I was thinking about right now what's happening. And so getting to the end, I mean, being in episode 12 and like being the person who finds out first that they're going to the finale, I remember being like, oh my God, like I watched God, you know, like I watched the show. Like, this was my genuine reaction. Like so many times. And I mean, I know that moment of when the first person realizes that they're going to cook and, you know, whether you're the final two, you're the final three. I have seen that look on people's faces and it's so cool to like be there. And that's genuinely when I realized I would have to start thinking about it.
Like, oh, know, shit.
You know, like, I think it was just like, okay. And then we had a break. But you know, you have to, you know, make decisions, you know, you're not like making every decision there in the moment. You have to make some ahead of time because we are getting on a boat.
Right.
Viking cruise. Oh no, it wasn't Viking. It was
no, we
else.
Thought it was for whatever reason. We like really like latched onto it being a Viking cruise, but can we pause on the boat of it all? Like yes. What was your headspace when you heard you were going to be on a boat? How are you with like seasickness? Is that an issue?
Oh no. I mean, it's not like something we were a cruise family. Okay. So
I identify with this. Yes.
Big family. We all wore t-shirts that said it's Miller time.
Oh, and I love it.
They were stick figure drawings and you know, everyone's t-shirt, like their stick figure was more prominent. Right. So like I've done the cruise thing. Yeah. You know, I can appreciate a cruise. I've never cooked on a boat. And for me, that was definitely there's no flames, which.
Oh, it's all induction burners.
Yeah, but like that's now you're like, oh, of course. But like.
Right.
I didn't think about that. Right. And so there's just like different layers of things. And also scales don't work on ships. And so like because if you're moving this and to be honest, that is not like a deal breaker. Neither of those things are a deal breaker, but they are like. They are unfortunate things to think about afterwards.
Yeah.
So for someone who felt like I was super like on it and like, oh, I've done my homework and all these things. I think that there were a few things just regarding the ship itself. Maybe not it like we're going on a cruise for the Top Chef finale, but like that you will be cooking in these specific kitchens that I feel stupid now for not thinking about. But it is, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah, how could you possibly know? We actually went into a huge conversation. We had a guest on who was a sailing yacht chef at one point in their career. And we're also big, like, Below Deck fans. And, you know, on that show, they famously don't wear footwear. But then to think about not wearing footwear in the galley, like in the kitchen, we were like, I'm sorry, but like, first question, did you wear shoes on the boat? Like, we have to know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Out there.
Oh my God. It's yeah. So we definitely wore shoes. But it's
good to know.
I was like, you wonder why you don't see your feet at all. No, we definitely had shoes on, but yeah, like in general, like the whole, you know, finale preparation was as far as like what the menu was. No, I definitely spent a lot of time, really trying to be like, I am going to try to put like the best meal of my life out as somebody who doesn't feel like I know honestly what that menu is. And like, I look at that as like the positive person that I feel like I naturally tend to be is like, how exciting, you know, like that's so cool. Mm-hmm. For the finale of Top Chef, it's a little less exciting. I feel like it's kind of like,
right.
I wish I was like, no, this is the story I'm trying to tell. And I think the biggest, you know, the thing for me was really trying to be authentic in what I'm doing, but serve something that felt like it was this grand thing, but also like that it was almost like a little bit of an identity crisis because you're giving someone the meal of your life when you don't necessarily, I didn't like, I don't know. Does that make sense? Like
it makes perfect sense. And honestly, like this is yet another thing we wax poetic about, which is like the level of creative constraint on a challenge and what that does as far as like performance and.
I love it. It helps me.
Yeah, like, no, that's our stance as two people who have never competed in any sort of thing close to this. Like, it's the challenges where, you know, to be honest, like indigenous foods, you know, I think the infamous episode from your season was the chaos challenge, which was like both very specific and yet not at all. And so that you also had like a ton of interesting like approaches there. But I 1000% agree with you. Like, cook the meal of my life, I would crumble in on myself like a dying star. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't know what to do with that.
Yeah. And I think like, I know what I would do now is I wouldn't overthink it.
Yeah.
I would be like, who am I right now? Like, I don't have to. I think in that moment, I felt like I was being asked answers to a question that I didn't know the answers to yet. Like, mm-hmm. meal of my life. Like, I'm 28. Like, what do you mean? Like, right. Like, what they mean is like, you made it this far and we've loved what you've done and we love who you are. So give us that wrapped in a nice package. Make it progressive. Give us solid food that shows us who you are. And guess what? We are sure that next year you'd be able to make a better meal, but that's not the point. Like, that yeah. is how I should have just wrapped it up. And I should have, it's, you know, it's so much easier being on this side now, but that's what I would tell myself if I could give her a call, is like, just chill out, you know, like, it's totally fine. Like, don't like, you don't have to try to pull out all these things that like, aren't your thing. Like, you don't have yeah. to do everything. You just have to like, be you. And I think it's, you know, that stuff gets scary. I don't have major regrets, honestly. I just feel like I totally got as much out of that as I could, because I couldn't have learned more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's incredible. And so thinking about, I mean, you've of course done a lot of reflecting, but we are now post-show. Mm-hmm. And so we have a ton of questions of like, both what has happened since then and your reflections on the experience. So yeah. along the lines of what you were just saying, was there anything that surprised you or that you realized upon watching it back? And like anything you saw for the first time or things that maybe either you misremembered or they portrayed differently? Anything that jumped out?
I think, oh man, to be honest, I have no complaints over how I was portrayed. Even in moments where it might've been like, oh man, you really like let everyone know I was zoomed in on my deer in the headlights look or something, like whatever it is, right? Like things that might be like embarrassing. I was like, no, it's real TV. Like that is very authentic. And yeah, no, I mean, just watching it back, I think if anything, it's just really weird to see yourself on TV. Like, mm-hmm. You know, that's like what I sound like. That's what I look like.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not like I definitely have like a favorite side of my face. And so it's like, oh, no, like there's just so many uncomfortable things. And if anything too, you're like, man, everyone I've ever known might watch this. Like if if it were me and I found out someone I went to high school with or someone I dated or someone I worked with, whatever, went on Top Chef, I'd be like, I'm going to watch that. And so, you know, it's more about like, you're just sitting there and you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. And that's like even on the good episodes. So I think, yeah. Oh man, the hard ones, like it wasn't like anything was super surprising. I just think it was more like a really good fast way to get like super comfortable with being critiqued and like,
yeah,
I am who I am. And like I can, all I can do is just be okay with that because it's officially out there and it will be on Netflix in a year, you know? Like whatever.
Yeah. And we can't wait to watch. It's funny. So I know, well, you're engaged since the show, well, since between this show and the finale. So congratulations.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I recently got married this year and in this vein of like, wow, you see yourself on film, mm-hmm. I got the photos back, got the video back. And all I could think about was like, wow, I wish I would have just stood in front of a mirror, like a little bit and just sort of like pose. Like you just have no feel for the way that your body moves. Yeah. And then something is recording it and photographing it. And you're like, oh my God, like I should have been taking selfies for years. What have I done?
I didn't realize that, I open my eyes very wide. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I can't believe I didn't notice that. I would have had that huge insecurity my whole life. Now I only have to deal with it now.
But like the second half of my life.
I can deal with it now, but people were like calling me peepers because I feel like I was like,
I mean, there's a lot of visual stimuli to take in. So look, like, it works.
So I get it. It's like those brides who are like practicing their soft smile, but then they photos and they're like,
yeah. Oh, it's bad. My problem is like, I'm just constantly like yoinking my head like into my neck, like at any opportunity. I think about that a lot. Oh my God.
That's why I compare you to those Quentin Tarantino memes.
I know. Yeah. Nancy thinks I look like Quentin Tarantino sometimes, which is okay. True.
Anyway, back to the task at hand. So again, like reflecting on the Top Chef experience, mm-hmm. you know, we've covered a ton, but are there any particular dishes? We talked about the Indigenous challenge, but are there moments or experiences that like are just in the deep recesses of your mind that you'll never forget?
Oh my God. Yeah. I would say like getting to eat that meal, the five of us, I think it was Laura, Manny, me, Danny, and Dan, at Paul Bartolotta's restaurant, and getting to like eat with the chefs. And like, I'm sitting across from Kristen and Tom, and Gail is like right next to me, and we're like genuinely having a meal. That wasn't something that they just pieced together and like, okay, chef, sit down, hold a piece of bread. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a 5-minute thing and then get out of here, get back to your trailer. You know, like it was a very genuine thing that they wanted to give us time to be able to ask questions and like form a relationship with the judges at this point, now that we, you know, we are the final five. For me, that was like so special, because there were things like during those conversations that are super meaningful and I'll never forget. And I would also say meeting Morimoto, as somebody who like grew up, I mean, my parents got divorced when I was 8. And so I was living with my, you know, single dad who loved Iron Chef. And like, that's what we did. I remember we moved into the apartment and like he hadn't even bought new furniture yet. So we had soccer chairs and we sat down and we watched Iron Chef. Like, so that's like, you know, these core memories are coming back, and I'm sitting in front of this man and he's like feeding me. It's like exclusive, you know, there's nobody else in this restaurant. And like, we're getting to chat and talk, and all those things were just very, very special and like things I won't forget.
That's like, now you have a perfect question to like, who do you want to have dinner with, dead or alive? Like, you've already kind of done that. So now you can move on to other bucket list items.
Yeah, run it back. Use him again.
We'll go for ice cream this time. So we're looking forward to season 2022. As somebody 22, who...
Not 2022. Oh, my God.
What century is it? I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Season 19, I shouldn't be allowed to say the we're going numbers to the, in the 20s. We're going to the roaring 20s next
we're
time.
We're going to the roaring 22s. See, I almost did it again. Freak okay. Out. Look, season 22. I almost did it for a third time. Season 22 is coming. What advice, if any, do you have for this crop of chefs? And what advice do you have for Nancy and I as far as food we might be expecting to see on our food counter?
Ooh. You mean, okay, so the food counter as in like, what are they going to be like? What's their croquette?
What's their croquette?
Great. What's their bacon on everything?
Yep. What's their aguachile?
For you guys, we had aguachiles for you guys. We had gremoladas. We saw a lot of those.
Yeah.
Gremoladas.
And then croquettes, famously.
I feel like... Justin, you're not allowed to answer. He said Mostarda.
Wait, that's a good one. We're going to do it.
It's so boring. I know. I would say Mostarda. But also, I don't know, maybe I feel like more pickles. I feel like people might be annoying about pickles. Sorry, that was so loud.
Okay.
But I could see that being a thing. Oh my God, I could see that being a thing. I also would say, what is my advice to the new chefs coming in? Number one, like your strengths and weaknesses, whatever it is, they are one, like it's so cheesy. Ugh, I'm already like cringed out by what I'm saying, but it is like genuinely what makes you who you are. And that is like, I'm so grateful that everyone got to see all the different layers of who I was going into it. And I don't regret showing them. And so if there's anybody who maybe is like, all right, I'm going to be cool, right? Like, I'm just not going to show all my cards. That's fine. But like, show enough that you feel like you're actually gaining more than just, you know, if you win, that's obviously great, but you could walk away with a lot of other things. And like, I do genuinely think that the friendships and the connections you can make with people who are watching it, who can really feel like they know you and they're here with you, I think is really, really meaningful. And I would say, you know, don't make anything you haven't made before. Unless, you know, I don't know, it's like a jelly cake or something and you can just crush it. So take chances, but you know, you have to really know when to take them, and you have to really know yourself well enough to be able to do it in the first place. I think there's a lot of like self stuff that's happening.
Beautiful.
Right? Yeah, maybe.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful life advice and applicable to really any career.
Yes.
But thank you for saying that.
So thank you for your motivating words. Yeah. Even though I'm going to go probably watch reality TV after this, I will take this into the workplace tomorrow and like really think about this.
Right. Yeah. Like drink water, sleep 8 hours.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe walk around a bit. Who knows? Oh, wow. Savannah, it was such a joy. Truly, truly a joy to talk to you today. Like, wow. We're huge fangirls. We are fans of your season. We are fans of you. It's like so cool to meet your heroes in this case, because you're like, wow, it is. You're just like what we thought we'd be, what we thought you'd be, and more.
Thank you guys.
And before we go, is there anything that you want to shout out to the people listening at home? What you got going on? What's going down in Durham? The floor is yours.
Oh man, thank you. First and foremost, thank you guys for having me on. This was like so much fun. I've been looking forward to it. I'm glad we finally made it happen. It didn't feel like an interview. It felt like we were just hanging out. So
it's mutual.
Yeah. I'll be in New York soon. So maybe we can actually
hang out. Oh my gosh.
You know, Instagram DMs.
On DMs.
Yeah, right. Very professional. I am in Durham still, yeah. So Im Tempora is where you can find me. I'm there 5 nights a week. We have a brunch service now on Sundays that we've been running a few months. By the time this comes out, it, you know, we'll have been doing it for quite a long time, but we are making new menu edits probably in the next month or so. So it's just a busy time for the restaurant. I think me and Justin have something planned every month. I'm going to see Sue soon. I might be back in Wisconsin soon. So Woo!
Fun.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, we will be sure to promote it on the pod. We are so grateful for your contributions to the Top Chef cinematic universe. And to the listeners at home, get ready for a new season of Top Chef.
Oh, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch. It'll be so much
fun. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I know. It's going to be nice to be on this side now. You can go back to, like, shouting and being like, why didn't they pick that knife? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? And I'll be like, can't believe you made that. What? Yeah.
I would have never done that.
Oh, my God. That has to be, like, what a unique, like, lived experience to have. Like, in the, I don't know. How many people can even say that they'll do that? Okay, wow. Well, if I keep going, we'll just start asking you questions again. So, Savannah, thank you so, so, so much. We'll see everybody later. Bye.
Bye.